Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Stars Cast, also known as Natalie. We're back again this week. We couldn't make it last week. We're going to continue on with our divine intervention. This is part two. If you haven't heard the first part, you can go on the site, and at the bottom, it'll say Blog Talk Radio. You click on that. It opens up to all the shows we've done, and I think it's been probably 4.5 years at least. And tonight, of course, I have the lovely Maya Moon with me, and I have Stars Priestess Candy Ranson in the chat room to answer your one question readings. If you'd like to go there, we do not do them on the air. If you'd like to call in and, you know, you want to share something with us, that would be wonderful. You can call in at 347-838-9736, and yours truly will say, "Hi, this is Natalie." Anyways, Maya Moon, how are you tonight?
I'm good. Glad to be here, and you know, definitely a fan of the topic. I really believe in divine intervention, and even sometimes when we don't even know we're being intervened upon. So I'm glad that we're back and able to get to part two, because it did go really fast. I want to say last week, but 2 weeks ago, the part one went really fast. So, and I want to welcome everyone. If you're a first-time listener, I know that you will be thoroughly engrossed in our conversation. Hopefully, we can offer some insight and guidance and things that resonate with you and that can help you in your journey in this life. And for those that have been with us for quite a while, we welcome you too. And I'm glad that, you know, Natalie mentioned clicking on Blog Talk, because just remember, if you do miss a show or you're not able to be with us on Monday nights, I know for some people that's a perfect time and others have things going on. You never have to miss a show. Let's put it that way. You can always listen, and the show, it doesn't get cut. We don't take parts out, nothing like that. It is what it is. So live and in real time, as they say. I think that's how they say it.
That's how they say it, live and in real time. It's now, the topic tonight, we did touch base on it, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And, of course, I've had some divine intervention in my life, and I'm sure Maya Moon has. A lot of people have had it. And sometimes, I don't think they even know. For one quick example, before I turn it over to you to maybe you can start the show, is like, say, for example, you're supposed to go someplace. I'll say, meet the girls for lunch or that kind of thing, something that you've planned and, oh, okay, 12, we're going to meet there, blah, blah, blah. Something happens that keeps you home. You get a phone call, you're running late, you have to take care of a grandchild, somebody needs you for something, or your car doesn't start, something. Now, perhaps it doesn't happen all the time, but it can be that you were not supposed to be there at all. I know people, you don't even think about that, but if you think about what goes on for yourself during the day, and it happens to me a lot, but I'm in tune, so is Maya Moon, and I'm sure Stars Priestess Candy is, and those who you know, if you're really super spiritual, you're always watching, you're always waiting. I mean, you don't not make a move because, I mean, you can't say, well, I'm not going to go because I have this feeling. No, this is going to be more than a feeling. This is going to stop you entirely so that you don't experience something, and maybe you're going to find out later that something or there was a mishap on the highway, or maybe one of your friends that you were going to meet couldn't meet anyways, and you were going to be the only one there, and they couldn't get a hold of you. Whatever it is going to be, if something like that happens to you, just know you're just not supposed to go. And there's a reason. I mean, I know, Maya Moon, you've encountered that before, correct? And I do have callers,
yes.
So if you want to take this over for a couple of minutes, and then
sure.
I'll be back.
I'll be back then. So in part one, we went over divine intervention. And we can define that as the intervention or when, like as Natalie was saying, it doesn't matter if you're just spiritual and you believe in the collective or the universe, karma, fate, destiny, if you believe in angels, if you believe in a god or a goddess, any of those things, they all are applicable to the same thing. It's when something greater than us, a greater power or a higher source, if you want to term it that way, an open way, takes over and intervenes in our life so that we are saved from a mishap or, you know, or it could be the opposite. We're led in a direction for an outcome or for the potential. And what a couple of things very strongly about divine intervention is that we're all equal. Although we may not all be aware of having had a divine intervention or intervention of a higher spiritual sort, we're all equal. There's not any of us that are more special than others and, oh, this person was picked. And the other thing that I feel goes hand in hand is the faith and the hope and the belief that such a thing exists. And I believe that some people would liken that or would correlate or reference it to miracles. Now, to me, I would say that it's similar, but miracles are much more pronounced. They're much greater. They're much more obvious. You know, Natalie had just spoke about a few things. We might get a really strong feeling. We might get an example of the opposite, which I would consider divine intervention, is let's say that there is a party, you're single, and you've been invited to a party, but you're just not feeling all that peppy that day. And your plan throughout most of the day and the night before is, you know, I think I'm going to skip the barbecue. Let's say it's a barbecue at a friend's house. I don't feel like going. But there's something that just keeps gnawing at you and says, go to this party, go to this party. And so you end up, you say, well, I can always leave. You know, I don't know a lot of the people, whatever the situation may be. I'm not feeling my best. Maybe you're recovering from a cold. Many different things. Maybe you're an introvert and parties are just difficult for you. And so you end up attending this barbecue, this party, this gathering. And the next thing you know, your eyes meet another person's, whatever your orientation may be. Maybe it's a girl, maybe it's a guy. And you end up finding a soulmate who has the potential and becomes a life partner. So divine intervention can not only keep us from something that could cause harm or shift our life in a negative way, divine intervention can also intervene and lead us to a positive or to the potential, at least, of something positive, a new opportunity, being at the right place at the right time. You might call that synchronicity, which it is. The way that I see it is all these different phrases and terms, it all comes down to being divine intervention, just like any other type of intervention where we intervene to shift things, divine intervention shifts our life path, and it's always for the greater good. And many times we will experience this and we may not realize why we woke up late or why we had this feeling not to go somewhere or do something. We may not hear, you know, the news saying, oh, there was an airplane crash, that's why I didn't get on the plane, or the bus rolled over or whatever. So that's where the faith comes in. We have to have faith that strong feeling is our guidance and that intervention, even if we don't always know or get to see, you know, or have proof of what actually it was all about. And I think Natalie's back, so we'll check in with her.
Yes, I am back, and I do have a caller. Her name is Lori, and she'd like to share a story. You want to get to her now, or do you want to continue talking? Oh, we have another caller.
I'm just going to be so busy here.
So, and you know, I love to talk. So whether it's talking to you, Maya, talking to the audience, or talking to our wonderful callers, it doesn't matter to Natalie, right? So let me get to this other caller, and then I'll be right back.
Okay, so I guess we're waiting. Lori, you're not there, are you? I guess she's not. So when we think about our lives, so for those that are listening, and I think we mentioned this during the first show, keep track and look back on. Hello? Gosh, I heard a voice. Hopefully that's not ghosts of Blog Talk Radio. That's
the ghosts of Christmas past.
Yeah, no. I know. I was thinking that, too.
No. Oh, gosh. We don't want to talk about that.
No. So do we have
Lori
on the line?
Okay, yes, I'm back. And I have a couple of callers that have just chosen to listen, and I have one that would like to share something. So when we're ready, I'll invite her in. I'm going to go get her. Lori, I'm going to catch you right now, so hold on here. Her name is Lori. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
You're live on the air with Stars Maya Moon and Natalie. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing real good and resonating with everything that you all are talking about, and it is very, very true.
Yes. So tell us your divine intervention.
You know, I've been tuned into spirit pretty much all of my life because my parents are like that. So one story that I can share with you is how I got married. I made a vow to myself on my 29th birthday that I was going to open my heart and open up the universe to find somebody who was good for me and that I could get along with and we could be compatible. So about 8 months later, my little friends stood me up, and they kept on pushing me all week to get together to go out to a dinner supper club that turned into a nightclub, not even a discotheque, I guess more of a, music. The music was put on and all that, but it wasn't like a big dance or anything after dinner was served. So my friend stood me up. And I'm pretty shy, but I went ahead, ate dinner anyway, and the music was good. It was playing one of my favorite songs, so I went ahead and stayed. And I met some girls who befriended me and said, "Are you here by yourself?" And I said, "Well, actually, my friend stood me up." And they said, "Well, no, but we'll hang out with you. You don't have to worry. The only problem is we don't speak very much English." And I said, "Oh, well, you know, what language do you speak?" And they said, "We speak Arabic or French. Do you speak French?" And I said, I don't speak either. But you know what? We could just smile and laugh and enjoy the music together."
Exactly.
And they said, "Yeah." And they said, "Okay." One of them, "Can I borrow your comb?" "Sure, go ahead." "Can I borrow your compact?" "Sure, go ahead." And they said, "So who'd you come with?" And I said, "Again, my friends did not come. And I'm on my way home." And they said, no, you know what? We have someone who speaks the English. Come with us." So I said, "Okay, I'll talk to your friend that speaks the English." So they introduced me to their cousin, and it was a man, and I've been with their friend for the last 22 years. That's my husband.
Oh, wow. That's
how
amazing.
Wonderful is that? How wonderful. That is the most wonderful thing I've heard. That's just so great for you, Lori. You're blessed, really. Just think if you would have left. If you would have left, you would never have met him.
This is the awkward thing. I had 1 foot out the door, but my spirit inside of me said, you're not going anywhere. And I wanted to leave, and my spirit inside of me said, stay. It's like I was kind of like battling with myself. And after, within 5-10 minutes of meeting my husband, that voice stopped, and I didn't have to question anything any further. And he's followed me the way I lined it up, the way I talked to spirit, the way I wanted it to be. I was tired of dating. I was tired of getting people that were not at the same intellectual, or they didn't stimulate me intellectually. And I got it all with my husband, really, really intelligent, more intelligent than I am, more educated than I am. So there's been nothing but a life learning lesson since we've been married. And also what was important to me was to have a man act like a man and pursue me and stand up for me. And that's what I got.
Wow, how great.
That's great.
That's
yeah.
Wonderful. That's a great story. Really, really, really is. I mean, and it can happen that way. I mean, now if you would have left, but you wouldn't have known. You wouldn't have known what you missed. But you listened and you stayed. And, you could have left with these two girls that didn't speak your language. I mean, yeah, you can kind of smile and kind of nod your head yes, no, but you stayed. That's great. That's really a really, really great story that has had a great ending. Sometimes they don't have good endings. And I believe, and Maya, I don't know how she feels about it, it's because you don't listen. You really need to listen. And I'm so glad you shared that with us, Lori.
Thank you. Those girls were related to him. They were the ones who just kind of, they approached me. I didn't approach them. Everything happened in a very natural, flowing way. And, when I said my prayers to the universe, I basically said, I'm tired. I'm tired of dating. I'm tired of not being appreciated. And I'm just tired of people or gentlemen not being in the same mental alignment as I am. I'm old-fashioned, I'm traditional, and all these people and all these generations are a lot too fast for me. So what did
right.
the universe bring me? An old-fashioned, old-fashioned, maybe more old-fashioned than me, but see, that's what I asked for. I'm happy about that.
Do you think, Lori, that's because he came from another country? I'm assuming he did, that he was more traditional. He had his belief systems were such that his culture, he learned how you treat a lady. Do you think maybe could that have been part of his, because of his culture?
His culture, his education.
Yeah, from
his
where he
world.
Came from. I mean, was he born in another country?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've lived in another country with him. I've traveled the states. My life has been nothing but an adventure.
yeah. See, I think, and the Americanized, the men that are in America, they don't put their women on a pedestal. I mean, they do, but, and I think because you've got somebody there that is more old-fashioned, and you saw the other ones, and there was no comparison, I bet, right?
No comparison at all. I'm old-fashioned, and I was raised by my mother and grandmother who taught me that you're not supposed to be out of balance. A man is supposed to pursue and chase a woman. A woman is not supposed to be calling a man. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I was raised, and that's exactly how our relationship...
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Do you, Maya? I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
What I liked about your story was you were being true to yourself and you had faith in your prayers that you were manifesting someone that would be a good match. And the other thing is that you made a point to share with us that you opened your heart and energy, because a lot of times people will, you know, manifest this or that, but they fail to open their heart and soul. And you didn't say, I mean, you did have a bit of a bucket list, but you didn't get, you know, you weren't saying, well, he's got to have brown hair and he's got to be this. You just talked about traits and things that you knew would be compatible with you. And I had just been talking, I don't know if you heard that, Lori, about divine intervention isn't always prevention. It can sometimes be, you know, pushing us forward. And I just had said, you know, sometimes maybe there's a barbecue or a party, and for someone that's a bit of an introvert or shy, you know, they're thinking they don't want to go, and something tells them. So it was very brave of you, and that shows how committed you were to manifesting a life partner by continuing to stay. I realized that you didn't know, of course, when you stayed with those gals, you didn't know that was going to be the outcome, but you just knew that you needed to be open to all experiences in order to, you know, receive what it was. And I'm so glad that you did. And I really love that you shared that story. I think it's a beautiful story. And I wish you and your husband many, many years of prosperity, abundance, and, of course, happiness.
Oh, goodness. Thank you. I received that blessing. And like I said, it was all me just, I guess, flowing with what was happening and not having fear, being out of fear, being out of self-judgment, being out of ego. I let all those things go to the wayside, and that's whenever I'm able to tune into spirit. And recently I asked spirit to bring to me what I want, which is to be a book writer, to get published. And about 2 weeks ago, I met a woman at work, brand new, because I just started a new job 3 weeks ago, and she's a published author.
There you go.
Wow.
And when you get published, Lori, you need to contact me, because I have a magazine that we could put an excerpt in there or a press release, whatever you want.
Wow.
It's called Mystic Living Today. It's free. I do it every month. And I have all kinds of publishers, all kinds of publicists. They all come to me because I've been doing it since 1999. So I've established a great record with all of them, and I mean, every month it's a bigger and bigger issue, and sometimes I do them, I get everything done by the end of the month if I can, but sometimes I find myself doing them on the first, the second, or the third, because someone will say, oh, please, can I get into this issue? Well, yep, I'll wait to send it in, and I put it, and I do it all myself.
It's with
all the love that I have, Lori, and I do it under grace. If you missed our show about under grace, you listen to that show. That's how I do the magazine. I don't get paid for it. I don't charge anybody anything. So you will have to contact me, and I will actually, if you can write it down, I'll stay on the line, and I'll do it privately to you and not on the air. When this is all good to go and you wanna release something, you just let me know, and all I need is an image. And so there you go. You've got an offering here to publicize.
I would love to. Oh, that would be such a tremendous
blessing. I have a lot of
blessing.
Famous authors. I have a lot of spiritual. I have Ram Dass. I have Sanjay Desai. And all these people all over the world that I know, that they do view everything. And then I shouldn't be taking up all of our time doing this. But I'm gonna let Maya. Go ahead, Maya, and just talk a little bit more. And I'm gonna give her this address so that she can email me when she's ready. Okay.
Okay. So as Lori shared with us, which was pretty much in line with what I was talking about, divine intervention can work in many ways. And we all have that same equality and that same privilege. And she gave us some good examples of some other things that I'm sure have been topics, like under grace, and will be topics too in the months or weeks to come. So divine intervention does require belief, and it does require fear is the most horrible decision maker ever. And sometimes we have to accept that we're going to have fear, but we don't have to allow it to define us, because that can interrupt that spiritual connection with the divine intervention. If divine is trying to give you a signal or a symbol or show you a path, a way to something, whether it's keeping you from something that might be dangerous or just not good for you, you need to be aware and pay attention. And by the same token, if divine is leading you to a desire or to your potential, whether it's publishing a book, meeting someone, a life partner, or maybe making a move, looking for a new career, whatever it may be, we need to be quiet within ourselves and listen to that intuitive voice. And sometimes there's many of us, not all of us are easily, you know, extroverts and are able to manifest and fulfill and, you know, just charge out ahead, whether you're a painter or you're a writer or whatever the case may be. So just keep in mind, too, that divine intervention is a constant presence in our life. It doesn't always touch into our lives, but it's a constant presence, and I believe that it's constantly there to, you know, to help us and to shift the balance in our lives, and always, always for the positive. And some of us are very lucky, and we are given the immediate answer. So whether that's being late for work and finding out that there was a pile up on the freeway and you realize that the timing would have been such that it's almost impossible that you would not have been, you would definitely have been a part of that. So, and I have a quick little story. The reason that we had to cancel the show is I had some dental issues, and one of them was I had chipped a front tooth, and I had seen a dentist, and the cost was, to me, outrageous, and I just didn't have a good feeling. Something told me that I should wait and that something else, you know, and I'm a person that does pray, so I did pray about it, and much like Lori, I was open to whatever needed to be done, that I'd be led in the right direction. And sure enough, I received, I believe that it was divine intervention that led me to, and I'm terrified of dentists, by the way, but I can't let fear, that fear, I can allow, you know, I can accept that I have that fear. I can't deny it because that doesn't do us any good. So I accepted that I have that fear, but I still went ahead and went. And as it turned out, that happened to be the only time slot available. But this doctor, this dentist, was kind, patient. He understood all the issues, and he took care of everything so that my insurance took care of it. And it was not a fun procedure, which most dental procedures are not fun. But I do feel that was divine intervention. Something in my gut, aside from any cost, something just told me that the person I had visited before, not to do that, to continue my search. And so I did, but unfortunately, all I had to have some extensive work done, and it was all done last Monday. And I'm sure everyone can relate that's been to the dentist. It would have been impossible for me to talk. I mean, it just literally would have been impossible. So that, you know, was a divine intervention. And who's to say that even without my own personal intervention, who's to say that maybe Lori would not have joined us last week and shared a story, or other listeners that may be joining us this evening would not have been able to be with us last week. So I believe that, you know, that very strongly that there was more than just my own personal story. And that's I realized that in the scheme of life, that divine intervention is something that's relatively minor to many people. Many people, by finding a life partner, probably, I would say, is probably a bigger deal than just getting some dental work done. But nevertheless, what still that we're all equal to that. So I'll turn it over to Natalie.
So that's yeah, I'm back. Well, I opened a little door for Lori, so this is good. I don't know if we should talk about some of the things that have happened to me, which have been very unusual. I think probably the biggest one would have been the car thing with my son and my husband, don't you think, Maya?
I would say probably, yes.
Okay. Well, the three of us were in our car. My son was driving. My husband was up front. I was in the back behind my son, right? We were going down this major road. We made a left. We were in the right of way. Another man was coming through the opposite way. He was turning. Something happened to him. We never figured it out. Anyways, my son missed this car. It happened so fast. All I saw was a flash of red, and that was it for me in the back seat, right? So we end up in this on the side of the road. It wasn't, we didn't have to go down into, a ravine or anything. It was just off the road. And my son turned around. He said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah. I mean, I was fine." He said, "Mother, come out. Come out the car. I want to talk to you." "Mother," he said. When he says mother, it's important, right? "Mother." I said, "What's the matter?" He said, I'm not going to say this too loud because they're going to think we're crazy. And I said, "What?" He said, "When I turned the wheel, it was taken out of my hand and turned in a way that I could never have gotten us out of the way of that car." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "It turned like, you can only turn the wheel so far on a car." He said, "This was like, it was real sharp, real fast." And he said, "Yeah, we're okay, right?" And then we went right over, and I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I'll talk about it in a minute." Both of us went over to see this other man. My husband was fine. And the man, he looked at us, and he said, "I'm sorry." He says, "I thought I was going to hit you head on." And I looked back at our car, and all of the glass from the front of his car was on up by our front window. That's how close he was to us. But he didn't hit us. We actually got pulled out of the way. So, when something like that happens to you, my son and I, we kept looking at each other. My husband was ill. He had Alzheimer's, so he didn't even know. He did not even know. But my son and I, kept looking at each other. "Mother, is this real?" So I walked with him a little bit down the road. We waited for the fire trucks. Of course, we knew everybody anyways because they used to come to my son's pretzel store and they were all in a state of panic. "Oh, my God, it's Luna's mother." we're walking down the road. And he said, "Can you tell?" He was like stuttering. He said, "Well, I don't believe this." I said, "Why don't you believe it?" And he said, "Well, I don't know." He asked me what I saw and everything. And had that guy have hit us, him and I probably would have been killed because it was on that side. But the strange thing about it was the man, the impact, it was like, he really got that close to us because the glass from the front of his car was up by our front window. But he didn't hit us. We had nothing on the car, not one thing. And my son, to this day, every once in a while he'll say to me, "Remember the wheel?" "Oh," but I didn't see it. I was in the back. I didn't see anything except the flash of red. And then my son stopped. I was kind of taken away from it all. And that was a very harrowing experience, and that was definitely divine intervention. Now, if you think about my life after that, I was just starting to think about doing STARS. I hadn't even done that yet. I had Planet STARS. I had the magazine. And I would have been fatalities. I'm sure of it. And I don't, sometimes when we have a show like this, I'll think about it, but I try not to think about it. I don't know why, but it was definitely divine intervention. Now, but that is the extreme, I should say. And it does happen to people, though. Similar things do happen to people. You know, they cross the street, and a car really should have hit them, but it didn't. And the people watching say, well, how did that car miss you? Well, maybe you got pushed ahead a little bit, and you just didn't even realize it. But that wheel did turn. I did not see it. I saw my son turning the wheel, but I did not sense and see what he saw because I was behind him. And we still talk about it to this day because it was the most unusual thing. And he said to me, well, does this mean that we're supposed to be saved for something? I said, well, it just means that this was not our time. We have more work to do. I knew I had to take care of my husband another 4 or 5 years, whatever it was, and my son had to continue on. He had a small daughter. We were going to see her play soccer, and we were walking on the field, and him and I, we kept looking at each other, you know, and he kind of grabbed my arm. He said, this just happened, didn't it? I said, yes. We didn't tell a soul. We sat down at the soccer field. We did not even tell my daughter-in-law. We just sat there. We were like in this daze, like we couldn't believe what just happened to us. And you hear about things like that. So the reason for it, I have no idea. I have no clue, except that my husband would have been left alone and probably would have been put in a home. I'm assuming that was part of it. He wasn't put in a home. I took care of him till the very end. It was tough, but I did it. But I guess that was part of what I was supposed to do. But if I wouldn't have been around, I'm sure he would have been put in a home. My son wasn't around. That's the only child I have. So that was a very divine intervention to the max. And I have had other things happen to me, but nothing like that. That was just totally tremendous. So I know, Maya, you and I have talked about it a lot. So what I would say for, I really don't know, and I might never know. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. And I love doing the magazine, and I love Stars, and trying to create more traffic and all that kind of stuff. I wheel and deal. I'm very charming when I talk to people. I can get you to do anything. So I just have to speed the charm up, and I do that. And maybe it's for the betterment. Maybe people come to the site. It's all about that, too. I mean, you just don't know why. In a situation like that, you were spared. Unless something happens and I see something and I'm told, I have no idea. What do you get from it, Maya? What do you think? I know we've talked about it many times, but not in front of the listeners.
Well, I mean, I believe it universally, or I believe collectively, generally, that we don't always perhaps have, that's why one of the reasons I should back up a little bit and say, one of the reasons why I feel so strongly that there's much equality, that we all have that potential for divine intervention. I don't know that we can always say that it's for this reason or that reason. I think, or I should say I feel, because it's not a thought, it's more of a feeling, or the information that's given to me by what I refer to as my guide, who helped me tremendously with spiritual connections and understanding the spiritual life and everything associated with it. So I would say that it was a combination of things. I would not say that my feeling isn't that it was just because your husband would have been left alone, or just because, I don't know if Louie was a new father, if they had Jada, or...
Yeah, she was about, well, she was playing soccer, so she was probably okay. About 8 years old. Yeah, yeah.
So she would have been, you know, I believe from, we've talked about it before, so I do believe from the description and the feelings that I'm shown, that it would have, there would have been fatalities, and the most likely victims would have been you and your son, and that would have, I mean, that's what I mean about divine intervention makes a shift. Some of them may seem minute or small at the time, But right. The domino effect, or the chaos theory, which I refer to quite a bit, is always in effect. The butterfly effect is another way. It's the same thing as the chaos theory, really. So, and the way that I would view it is that I would say if I had to give an explanation for what happened, divine intervened because the loss and the impact of those losses would have been so great and would have been so phenomenal in terms of how they would have affected so many lives, Jada's life, Jen's life, your husband's life, and then that would go on to pass down to whatever else your daughter-in-law did in her life, and it would pass on to Jada and any children she might have, any relationships. Those are all of great magnitude and importance. So I would say that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just one thing. So just so you could take care of your husband, that was a part of it, certainly. But it was just a combination. And I believe that's what divine intervention is. And I did want to mention this. I am a very avid fan of listening to tales that are nonfiction. And just because a lot of people get that mixed up, that means these are true events and things that happen to people. And I'm generally drawn to stories, sometimes they can be a little bit dark, I suppose, people that have near misses with dangerous situations, something like what Natalie shared with us. But one thing I wanted to bring up is, I will say this with prayers sent out to all those touched by 9/11. I know that we do, we have listeners from other countries, but they're aware. And, of course, everyone in the U.S. Holds close in our heart the devastation and the tragedy of 9/11. But for those of you that may not know this or realize this, I would highly suggest if you need some spiritual motivation or you need a little bit of faith, read some of the other stories. And that doesn't mean that it negates the loss that people had. Again, my heart and prayers and blessings go out to all those. I know that their lives were forever changed, but there are so many stories you would not believe of people that had little idiosyncrasies, little things happen, and there's so many, and they are very heartwarming, and they really make you see the bigger picture. Again, I'm not negating the loss that people felt and saying, well, it's okay because all these people had that. I'm just saying that it shows collectively, universally, and it shows to us. And for me, if I need a spiritual pick-me-up, so to speak, I might go back and read. There are hundreds and literally hundreds of stories of people that talk about that morning and something went wrong. I'm talking about people that, for example, there's one person. This person had not been late, had worked in the building for 20-some years and had never been late, had never had alarm problems. And it started with the alarm didn't go off. And it was a female, and she woke up late. She was already, because she was so conscious about her work and responsible about it, she was deciding what she could skip because she was determined to get to work on time or get there at least within a few minutes of being late. And she skipped her normal routine. Let's assume that that was taking a shower, putting on her makeup. She did what she just absolutely had to. I mean, I'm sure she brushed her hair and put on clothes. I mean, I've read the story. I'm fairly familiar with it. And she went out, and her car would not start. And so she called, she had roadside assistance, and she called, and there was some mix-up and they ended up going to the wrong place. By the time she finally realized that she just wasn't, she was going to be late, and she tried calling the building. She tried calling, and she knew something was wrong. And within 15 minutes, by this time it was right around the time that this all happened, she caught the news. And her
right.
office
oh my.
And where she worked, there's absolutely no question that she would have been a fatality if they would have even been able to find her, because she
That's
was
really
in one...
amazing divine intervention, even more so than mine. That yeah, that, you know, and I think you're right, Maya. I think there's a lot of stories like that. You know, they didn't get to work. It was their day off. They got somebody to work for them because they had something else to do. I'm sure there's a ton of stories like that. And doesn't that really makes you think, doesn't it? Mine doesn't seem that.
It does. And, you know, I say that, and it troubles me at times because I say, you know, we're all equal, and then a lot of people would perhaps come back with, well, if that's true, then why did these people pass
right.
away? But I look at our journey as a continuing journey, and who's to say, how are we to really know that continuing their journey from this earth, although it causes pain, and again, not to negate or lessen or try to make light of the pain for those left behind, but who's
right.
to say that that person that was taken to Elysia, if you call it that, heaven, paradise, whatever you see as the afterlife, I'm assuming if you're listening to a spiritual radio show that you have, excuse me, some spirituality within you, and so you have some beliefs in that. So I of course, believe 1,000,000,000%. So I believe that those persons were probably chosen ones for various or different reasons, and their life, their spiritual life continued. So that doesn't make it easier for us left behind. But at any
no.
rate, there's some amazing stories. There's another
there
story just real quick, and it's about a young child, one who loved school, very similar, but woke up and refused to go to school. And when his mother questioned him, he just said, I don't want to go. I don't know why. I just don't want to go. I'm afraid. And she said, well, what are you afraid of? And she started panicking, thinking, oh, my goodness. You know, here he's been this happy child, loved school, and now suddenly he didn't want to go. And so she was another one that was, her office was located in one of the deadliest zones, one of the worst zones possible, where there just were no survivors. Had her son not done that, she finally gave in because he just wasn't that kind of a child, and she was really beginning to worry a little bit about his, you know, emotional or psychiatric well-being, and was thinking, you know, maybe I'll go to school later and find out if something happened, if he got in trouble. And so I believe that that child was used as an instrument for divine intervention. That,
right, to keep her home.
You know, right, to keep her home, because that, for her,
exactly.
maybe that was the only way that she, you know, that was the
she
way
would have stayed
that
home.
She was chosen, right, or the way that she would stay home. So I'll go ahead
right.
and turn it over to you, but there really are some just heartwarming and
right.
just amazing stories. And there's also a lot of internet forums out there that have various. Now, again, some of the stories can be a little bit dark and can be frightening, so I wouldn't recommend them for everyone. But they all tend to lead down the same path, and that is people that were spared something that could have been just absolutely awful, like your car accident, where you know
right.
had that
oh,
had
yeah.
that had divine intervention not occurred, you at least you and your son I know as sure as I'm sitting here, you would have been killed probably on impact.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the wheel was turned. I mean, turned in a way that a human could not have turned it.
Almost as if it wasn't just turned, it was unseen hands or an unseen force moved
exactly.
it out of the way.
Yeah, it moved it out of place. My son felt it. I did not. I was behind him. I could not see. But, you know, something like that, I mean, we walked away. We were like numb. Well, I mean, because it happened so fast, and especially for him, because he was facing it. And the man ended up with a broken arm, and we took his cell, and all
goodness.
The firemen were there and called his wife, and he just kept thanking us, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, what are you thanking? And I didn't do a thing. My son just, the wheel was just taken out of his hands. That's what it was. And something like that can happen, but sometimes you don't really know for a long, long time why you did this, why you didn't go there. And if we look at things like that, it's really amazing. And then back, you know, when I almost died, that was divine intervention. I was 32. Yeah, and I guess I'll quickly tell that. Well, we're running the show a little bit over because I think Candy said it for 90 minutes. But anyways, I was ill. I didn't know what was wrong. Went to the doctors, of course, and he took like 6 vials, big vials of blood, because he couldn't figure it out either. He just knew that there was something wrong. I couldn't even stand. I didn't have a cold. My energy was totally taken away from me. So, you know, he said to me, well, it could be this, it could be that. Let's just test this all out. Well, I went back, and I think it came back. It was a rush on it. I think it came back in 5 days because I went back to see him the end of the week. And he sat down on the table with me, and I said, well, what's wrong? He said, well, you and this other man got this. You weren't out of the country. No. You don't use needles. No. He said, well, you got a form of hepatitis, but it was at the time of the Ebola strike. And he said, and I know you didn't go out of the country. He said, we have no idea how you contracted this, except unless you went to a restaurant and you got it from somebody's fluid in a glass. That's the only way you could have gotten this. There's no other way.
Oh,
it has to be
gosh.
An exchange. And I said, well, you know, we always went to the same restaurant, but my numbers were way out of whack. I mean, really way out of whack. And so he told my husband what I had to do. I did nothing, absolutely nothing, but I didn't want to do anything because you're like in this state of, I'd almost like suspension. You just, you know, I could hardly stand. People would come over and I'd say, I barely walked to the door and I'd say, I can't talk to you. You're going to have to leave. And I'd close the door. I mean, I was probably pretty rude, but sometimes I didn't even answer the door. It took a long time, but the whole thing of it was for me is that they didn't know what to do for me. You know, the Ebola had gone out. He convened, like I love that word, convened, with his partner and some other doctors at the hospital, and they figured the only course of action for me would have been massive doses of vitamin B plus 12 and also gamma globulin to bring up my immunities because they were all worried that when you get that low, you get your immunities drop and you can get attacked by anything. And, you know, pneumonia could have got me. I didn't go anywhere. I stayed home. That's it. I just stayed home. I didn't even watch TV. That's how difficult it was for me. I could not even stand. I mean, all my energy was totally gone. And it was very unusual, he said. Well, I had that fear for a few days and resting as much as I could and all that kind of stuff. And one night, I got shots every day, by the way. I went into the office every day because he wanted to put me in the hospital. I said, oh, no way. I'm not very good in the hospital. Can you take that to be a no? I'm not going to go. Okay, you got to come in every day. So I went in every day. I got the gamma globulin, you have to take a little one. You have to start off at 1/10, and then you build up to the whole syringe. They're very painful, and it has to be a very small needle. So, anyways, I went. You know, I had like about a week of that, and then one night I woke up, And my room was glowing a yellow, like a golden color. Well, you know, I thought was the light was left on. Gosh, who left the light on? And, or the we had a little half bath. The bathroom light wasn't on. The hall light wasn't on. There was nothing that would say that a light was on. So, you know, I sat up and I thought, well, this is a fine. How do you do? Where's this light coming from? Well, I turned around, looked on my back wall, and here was this about a 7-foot crystal on my wall. That's where the glow was coming from. Well, obviously that golden color was to heal me massively. Yes, we know that. And I was working for a group of readers, of advisors, you know, up in Michigan for this whole big group, and I handled the money and all that. But anyways, they couldn't tell me what it was because they didn't know. And I have talked to Maya about this. First of all, this was to heal me. We know that. But I think it was also to open me to be on my path because I was not, I was spiritual, but nothing like I am now. It took a long time for me to get where I am. And everybody said, oh, it was just to heal you. No, it wasn't just to heal me. I had to see it. I could have been healed while I was asleep, but I had to see it. I've never forgotten it. I have it on a little piece of paper, what it looked like and the date. It was in August, and I'll never forget that. I have never seen it again, but it was magnificent. And the first time that I interviewed Maya, this was when I started STARS. Remember that, Maya? She said to me, don't say anything. Don't say anything. I'm going to tell you something. And she told me. She told me. She knew. And I don't even remember your words, but to me, that is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And also the car being pulled out of our way, and I am very grateful for all of that. What would have happened to me with this unusual virus probably would have taken me because they had nothing to give me. They knew nothing about it. It was like, what do we do with her?
Right.
But by what
Man,
I was getting.
Your symptoms was really make you as comfortable as possible. And
that's all. And my doctor went to his dentist because they were using gamma globulin. He had some, but they were sending it to Africa because of the Ebola virus. So it was getting very scarce for me to get it. And he said to me, don't worry about this. He said, my brother's a dentist. We're going to get it. Because, you know, I knew a little bit, but I know a lot more now. And as I got older, I knew a lot more. The vitamins, that was not going to help. I needed something else. And, you know, I don't even know what else he put in it. He never told me, and I never asked. It doesn't matter. Within a matter of time, I started functioning better. It took a few months, but it really knocked me for a loop. And I'm sure if that crystal had not appeared, that problem, now this was before the car thing, this was way before it, I was already set on my path. That did something for me, that opened it all up, and these readers who I thought were, and that's another thing, I thought they were so great, they weren't any better than me, but I respected them, and they all said, oh, no, it was just to heal you, and I thought, no, it could have been done while I was asleep, but Maya told me. Maya Moon that works on STARS that we've got on the air, she told me, and I never told her what it was, but she says, I've got something to tell you. Don't say anything. I'll never forget that, remember?
Yeah, no, I do, because I said, I like to work cold.
Right.
And so I knew I was being shown that you had experienced something that was a very significant divine intervention.
Yeah.
It wasn't the accident, which is pretty significant, but
right.
And I know that I even gave some details about it, and I didn't want you to say anything because it was an interview too, of course, but I prefer cold readings, and some clients they have a need to share and vent, and that's okay too. That doesn't, prevent
take
the
away from the whole thing, right?
It just doesn't always allow me to validate things, and the reason for validation is not to show off, but to establish trust. Because if I can validate something, which in the case with you and I, first of all, I was very enthralled by knowing that you had received this. And, you know, we've talked about it, and I do believe that the reason that it was visual was, it was very complex and a very compound situation, but part of it was, as you said, and we've talked about, is to enlighten you. So it was not just a healing. It was an enlightenment of great magnitude, but it was also so that you would, as you became enlightened, when we're enlightened, we're not, you know, it's like a suntan. You don't get tan in one day. You build it up slowly, so that once you reached your spiritual, and we're all still learning, but once you reach that high plateau where you are now, you would be able to look back and realize that that was the symbol, the visual to accompany what was happening. Because, for example, let's say that you just suddenly started feeling better. It would have been great, and it would have been celebratory, and you would have maybe given thanks to God or to universe, you know, maybe you would have considered it an intervention, but not to the same level or degree that you do now. Now you have that image that you'll carry the rest of your life of the crystal and the color of the gold. So it's one of those things that even though you knew something had been shifted within you physically and spiritually, the more you grew and the more you learned about spirituality and your own self, the collective, the universe, et cetera, the more that visual means to you, and the more you're able to understand why that was so important. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it took a long period of time because that was many years ago. But it started me, it was like almost started me on something a little bit at a time. I wasn't just throwing all this stuff. It was just a little bit at a time, but it was a growth period for me that I had to grow into and learn. And this is where I am right now and why things kind of happen the way they do sometimes. And, but yeah, those two things in my life were most wonderful, most wonderful. When you can sit back and remember something like that, and I don't think of that crystal that often, only when, like, we're on the show and we talk about things that have occurred in our lives, the whole thing lit up. I mean, the whole room, I blinked my eyes, I thought I was dreaming, and I even talked a little bit, I said, boy, this is some kind of a dream I'm having. No, cover your eyes, no. But then, you know what was really strange, Maya? Is it was like once I recognized, okay, this is real, okay, I was put back to sleep. You would have thought I would have sat up, turned around, and gazed at this thing for hours. I didn't. I had no desire to do that. It was all that it needed to reach me.
Right.
I just
right.
needed to see it, and that was it. Put her back to sleep. And then that was it. And I've never seen it again. I've never really actually seen the color. You put it back in your mind. You don't really think about it that often. But I was definitely supposed to see it. That was important. Then she's going to believe it. I'm talking like I'm God. She's going to believe this if she sees it. But that's all we want. It will take effect, but it will be long-term for her. She's not going to get all of this spirituality in one sweep. It didn't happen that way, not at all. I didn't really question things, but I was, you know, I was a Catholic girl, went to church and all that kind of stuff. And the only thing I questioned, I guess, was, the nuns. I just thought then when I was growing up that, oh, God came before them and said, you will be a nun. Well, that wasn't it at all. And then I realized that you can be at home and pray. You don't have to be in a church. And, you know, the Catholic Church is a very substantial congregation. I mean, it's been around for a really long time, and they don't do without. And I guess maybe I was questioning all of that, but from that point on, I just went with the flow. I didn't really call back that vision that I had. I call it a visitation. It was a visitation of some kind. And it was almost as good as seeing Jesus, which I did see when I was taking care of my husband. We talked about that. He's come to me in a dream once, and I saw his feet when I was in the bathroom. I've discussed this before when things were really bad, taking care of a person that is ill and doesn't know what they're doing, and I just sat on the floor, and I was in hysterics with the door locked, and I looked over, and I saw, and I know they were his feet and the bottom of his robe. Soon as I saw that, it was like there was a light switch. I got up, and I was fine. So you see, I had to finish this out with him to take care of him, and it was scary, but I did see. And then Jesus came to me in a dream. I looked at him, and I looked at, and these are all divine intervention for me, because people don't dream like this, and I don't even remember my dreams now, but he came up to me. Oh, I saw this, you know, this man that was straggly hair, and he had no shoes on, and I looked at him, and then he motioned for me to look beyond my vehicle to the back, because he knew I didn't know who he was. And here comes all the apostles. Then I looked back at him, and mentally he said to me, "Now do you believe me?" And he touched my hand and said to me, now he didn't speak, he didn't have to, "Everything is going to be just fine. You'll see." He's never come to me again in a dream like that. And it's very rare when Jesus does that. But that's why, you know, everybody knows about what I do every morning. I talk all day long, not all day long, but I talk in the morning to God, to Jesus. Okay, who's ever listening up there? I've got some things to discuss. You know, that's how I treat it. I treat it very light and airy. I don't get sad. I am not sorrowful. I just talk like they're right there with me, you know. And I'll tell you something else, too. You know, I get a lot of bad days, not because of business, but because of personally for myself. But you know what? When I sit down and I, all of a sudden I'll sit on the couch and my cat will come next to me. And just like in that dream that I had, you know, all of a sudden, it's okay. Everything is okay. I get up, and I, like when I saw Jesus, it was the same thing. It's like I was sprung into action again. Okay, that's done. We're done with that. Shut the light off. It's gone. That happens to me all the time. So that's just a, you know, kind of like a nudge to me. Come on, Natalie. Just, you know, you can do this. This is not out of your realm. You can do this. And I have had other things that have happened to me that it'll just take up too much time. But I've had a lot of beautiful things happen that you would sit back and say, wow, I wish that would happen to me. But that one with the crystal was probably the most magnificent in my life that I'll carry that with me forever. And then, of course, my son, I was worried about if that would have hit my son, that car. I mean, he's everything to me, you know, and
right.
And we have to think about divine order. I always think about that, too, that things happen just the way they're supposed to. You're there because you're supposed to, and I think sometimes, Maya, if you look at your life like that, even if you have bad days, it's to get you to the next, call it the next page, if you will. Flip that page back and do the next page. Just keep going forward. Keep doing it no matter how bad it gets. And then, you know, surround yourself with people that love you. That is one of the other things that you can do. I have lots of people. You know, I have Maya. I have, of course, Candy, who's in the room, and others. And I've been very blessed. And I know everybody hears this almost every week from me, but it's the truth. And there's a reason I'm telling everybody this, because it's important. You know, yeah, I own these two big sites, Stars is big and all of that, but it takes a lot of work. But I love doing it, and I do it under grace. Please listen to that show about under grace. It's really a good one that Maya and I did, doing things under grace. So, Maya, I think I've talked enough, Lord knows. And, Lord knows, all right, and Jesus knows, too. He's probably thinking, gee, she never shuts up. But I like to share things because I always tell people to believe in things you cannot see, because I do. And that's how I've governed my life, even as a little girl. We've talked about that. about my childhood and all that. It's been unusual. And there's others. I'm not unique in my own way, but I think I'm probably, I don't know if anybody else saw that crystal like I did. I don't know. It was very special and very wonderful for me. So it's nice to talk about it because it's a reminder of who you are and why you're where you are. And look at the people that I have. I have Maya who's like a sister to me. You know, I can call her for anything. And Candy, same thing. Can do the same thing. I have a lot of people. So surround yourself with people who love you. And just always know that everything is in sequence. Everything happens for a reason. And start talking to God and Jesus like I do. Oh, my gosh, I talk to them every day. They probably get tired of hearing me. And that's if you believe in that. I mean, some people do not believe in that, and that's fine. Whatever your faith is, just keep going. Just keep going forward. You can pay it forward, sure. But I like to do things under grace. I do it because I want to do it for you. I'm not asking anything in return, and I'm not asking you to do anything. If you do it, well, that's wonderful, right? So, Maya, what's our topic for next week? I think I've talked enough. My goodness, I talk too much sometimes.
Okay, and I'll just close out by saying that, you know, I liked what you said about religion. We can all be religious. We all have
right.
Various religions. But spirituality is in of itself, although I will say this, that in order to be truly spiritual, there has to be some belief in something that is greater, whether that's a source, whether, you know, like the Buddhists believe that it can be within our own selves, that's okay, but there has to be that. And when it comes to divine intervention, you might be surprised because we don't always get to know the results or the whys or the wherefores of something. So you might be surprised that you were the recipient of divine intervention. You just didn't realize because you didn't
right.
see the outcome. So as you live your life, the other thing that I feel is extremely important is that you have to have faith and believe. Without belief and without faith and hope, we have nothing, and we choose that. That's a choice that we make to believe. So if we believe that all things are possible, then it becomes a reality for us. It doesn't mean we're going to be billionaires, and it doesn't mean that every little need we have, we're going to say, well, that's met, that's met, that's met. It just means that the potential exists, and life is always shifting and changing, and we're all equal in as far as divine intervention. So I wish everyone that they can reflect on their lives and look at, you know, divine intervention, and always remember as you're living your life and going through your challenges that none of us know when an intervention may occur, and that if you stop a movie or you put down a book halfway or two-thirds or even three-quarters of the way through, you may think you know how it's going to end, but probably every human being over the age of 7 or 8 has watched a movie or read some book. And while some are certainly predictable, most are not. There's always a twist or turn. So as you're living your life and you're facing challenges, remember that you haven't turned that next page. And it could be that next page that you turn is your chance or your turn or your opportunity or potential for divine intervention, which switches it. And being on the air as often as we are, we do revisit subjects, but that's okay. Spirituality is everything has, you know, a tie, if you will, a bond, a cord, to something else. So next week, what I'd like to talk about is forgiveness and why forgiveness is important and how we learn to forgive and what the purpose of forgiveness is. Forgiveness is, to me, I believe that it's extremely significant in our path, in our spirituality. And for many of us, we don't understand what true forgiveness is, whether it's a self, others. So what do you think about that subject, Natalie?
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I was just going in my head like, okay, you know, you've forgiven some people. Like, there'll be lots that we can talk about, and I think it's a great topic. So, yes, we will roll with that one next week. Sounds good.
We'll play it by ear. A lot of times, just because there's so much to share, and especially if we have callers, and I want to thank Lori again for sharing and remind all the listeners. We've had a couple callers the last few shows, so everyone's gotten an idea of what it's like, and so far our callers have seemed really comfortable. It's a very laid-back, easy place to join in. So with that, I'm going to say my goodbyes, and it may or may not be a two-part show. What we often do is see how part one goes, and if we really feel that we've wrapped everything up, then we'll move on to a new topic. But if we feel that there's more that we're guided to share, then it will become a two-part show. But in either case, I know that many people, many, are blocked from their potential because of misunderstandings or the inability to forgive by not realizing the importance of that. So with that, right. I wish everyone a divine evening and week, and I look forward, as always, to, I say seeing, but of course I'm not seeing anyone, but to, you know, interacting with all the listeners and, of course, with Miss Natalie next Monday. So, and I don't think I'll have any dental issues. I'm pretty pleased with everything.
You better not. You better not.
Yeah, I should be good to go. So have a great evening, and thanks for listening. And I'll be here same bat channel, same bat time.
That's right. Yes, and you can always listen to any of the past recordings, past show, I should say. If you go to the site and click on Blog Talk Radio, it opens up a panel of all kinds of shows that we've done. And quite a few years worth are there, and you'll be able to catch up. And like she's, you know, like Maya said, sometimes we have to go over something, but it's rare. I mean, if we do another same topic, we haven't done it for at least a year. And sometimes, you know, what happens is we find different things we have to say anyhow.
That's
so
right.
With
That's
that,
right.
I'm going to let Maya know how much I love her. She already knows that. And Stars Priestess Can't Eat Ransom, of course. She helps me with the marketing of Stars and the magazine. And Lori is still on, and I see Lori sent me an email. I will be emailing her. I'm really happy for that connection. You see, this could have been divine order just for her, that she called in and mentioned her book and all of that good stuff. So with that, I'll see everybody next week. Have a great week. Same time, same station, and just do things accordingly and believe in things that you cannot see because they are there. Okay, love you. Love you, Maya. I'll talk to you this week, I'm sure.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.